The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Lexi Brinkley. I've got Jill Lane in studio, and I've got Danny Miles on the controls. He's running the bus in there, driving the bus in there. All right, everyone. Wow, I had a really great weekend. I did, but I had something sad happen this morning, but also beautiful. You know, one of my oldest fish died today, and it was almost 3 feet long. I mean, it's like 2.5 feet long. And I bought it at Walmart 7 years ago when I first moved into my big house, you know, that I was so afraid to move into. And we went to Walmart, the girls and I, it seems like forever ago, 7 years ago, and we bought like 20 fish for 27 cents a piece. And put them in the pond and just started feeding them. And here we are like 7 years later, and my big fish, you know, it's really weird. I went to feed him yesterday, and it was the weekend, you know, so I'm kind of, you know, chill. And, you know, I went to the pond and I went to feed him, and they were acting a little odd. And I thought, well, you know, I don't know. Sometimes we all have our bad days, I guess, even fish, right? And so I didn't think anything. So I went to feed him this morning. And they didn't go for the food, and they were acting really like depressed, like weird, like very weird, not their normal behavior. Usually they come and they jump up and they're real happy when I feed them, and you know, I kind of talk to them. And so I look around and I'm like, where's my big girl? You know, the biggest fish in the tank, and where is she? And so I go and I'm walking around. You've been in my house before, Lexi, you know, I think you have too, Jill, haven't you? And so anyway, I look over in the corner and here's this, my big fish down in the bottom in the tank with like half of the fish, like looking at her, just sitting there staring at her and you could tell they were mourning. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's dead, you know, and that's what's wrong. And that's why they're depressed. And then, of course, the process of taking this fish out of the tank was not, you know, lovely. And so it was difficult. But the beautiful thing is, I had that fish for 7 years. I grew her from a little tiny little baby fish for 27 cents. And, you know, it's the circle of life. And, you know, I didn't mean to be Debbie Downer right out of the gate, but it's a beautiful thing. So, oh, you don't have your sound. Oh, no wonder. Danny, Jill doesn't have any sound.
Hello. You should.
Yeah. Do you? No. No, she doesn't. I was wondering why I couldn't hear her saying anything. She was looking, oh, the wire's cut. Okay, well, we're going to have to switch mics there. So I was wondering why you were, so Jill was looking at me going like this, and I didn't realize what she was trying to say. She's got no sound. I hate when that happens.
I should have, the cord sticking out the back pointing to the ceiling should have been
the
a dead giveaway.
Wow. Yeah, well, it's never happened before, so there you go.
I wanted to ask, though, are they koi fish?
Yeah, they're koi fish.
Okay.
They're koi fish, and some of them, I guess, are just goldfish. You know, I don't know the difference between a goldfish and a koi fish, except that koi fish are a little prettier. They're a little fancier, I think.
Yeah.
But it was a sad but a beautiful thing, too, to watch. Here's the big picture, though. They all knew.
Yeah.
They're connected.
It's amazing.
People don't think that fish, oh, they don't feel anything.
Or animals in general.
Yeah, they don't feel anything. That fish, they've all been in the tank together for years. And the biggest, oldest one, you know, because we've had replaced over the years. There was one little girl one time that came in my house that dumped bubbles in the tank and killed like half of my fish. you know, I mean, it happens. It's a big koi pond in the middle of my home. And it's really a lovely little pond. And it's just kind of sad. But like I said, But it's also an awesome thing too. Now your microphone's got a life of its own. It's popping over there. What are you doing, Jill?
Oh my gosh. So funny.
Well, you know, I love what you and I are going to talk about today, and I think it's perfect timing and it's really good. And I don't think that people really realize as much as they should the importance of the of our children's immune system and getting ready for back to school. The top 10 things or top things that parents can do to get their kids' immune system ready for back to school. And Dr. Brad Dieter's going to be talking about small mistakes with huge consequences, the crux and crustable of the obesity epidemic. And then we have Dr. Nasha Winters on. She's a rock star. She is the author of the newly released book, The Metabolic Approach to Cancer. We're going to be talking about nutrigenomics, genetics, and epigenetics.
So, awesome. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. Right up my alley.
And she was at that conference you were at.
I'm pretty sure she was there. It was 400 of like the top movers and shakers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just open-hearted people, you know, wanting to make a difference in healthcare around the world. Mm-hmm. And I believe she was there. I think I saw her name. I think I recognized her face. There was just so many amazing people there. And, you know, with over 3 days time, it wasn't enough to get to chat with everybody. But, you know, I think she falls in that category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what did they talk about? What was the focus at the conference? Was there any one thing that was like the major?
It was just about how, you know, making an impact in the world and how we all have the capability through who we are and how we show up in the world to use whatever our business model is, whether it's in healthcare or not, to make a difference. And mm-hmm. just how you can do that. Everything from, you know, just the nuts and bolts of business, of running your business, to just the psychology of how you show up in the world mm-hmm. and how you be as a person, you know, your being, how that influences other people to make a difference and make choices. So it was amazing. It was an amazing place to be.
It sounds amazing. You know, I put a Facebook post. Lexi's going to pull it up here for me because I want to talk about it throughout the show. It was about a doctor who, about longevity. He was 105 years old. And the article's really interesting. I encourage everyone to go to Facebook and read it. It's on our One Life Radio Facebook page. I will probably take some excerpts from it and put it in our newsletter this week. And it basically says this, that it doesn't matter really. I mean, it does, but it doesn't. But the focus was not about what you eat. It was more about what you think and what you absorb and what you surround yourself with. And it was about the love of music and the love of animals. And that is what he accredited to his long life and working really hard, 17 hours a day, 7 days a week until. Months before he passed away, he was, you know, he was doctoring people.
Yeah.
And it's just unbelievable when you think about it. I've always loved to work hard, and I'm that 7 day a week girl because I've always loved what I've done. No matter what I've done, I've been fortunate to always love what I do for the most part. I mean, I think every career path or every job has, of course, you know, difficult things from time to time that you have to, you know, maneuver through and work through. But, you know, I'm that girl, 17, mm-hmm. you know, I love working hard like that. And people would say, well, you don't take a vacation enough and all that. That's so important. I'm not so sure it is if you really love what you're doing.
Sure. You know, what's so interesting is that we forget that the brain is kind of like a muscle. You know, it doesn't function like our muscles that lift our legs and our limbs, but we get the most out of it when we use it. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's through like music and the love of music and all of that, like he mentions, or whether it's through, you know, pouring yourself into something you love, which you might call your quote unquote job, or you might just call it your passion. It doesn't mm-hmm. feel like work, or whether it's your family or animals, the more we use our brain and more we expose it to new things, you know, that is so key to our overall health.
Yeah, and he says that 65 is a ridiculous age to retire, you know, if you think about it.
Yeah.
At 65, at 105, you're like, you're in midlife.
Listen, the statistics aren't that great for people who just, okay, say 65, I'm retiring, and then they just don't do anything anymore.
Right.
The health statistics of people who retire and then literally just like sit on the couch for the rest of their life aren't good. You have to stay active and impassioned about something. Doesn't mean you have to work, but you have to kind of develop or find new interests mm-hmm. So that your brain stays, you know, with it. So you can, you know, I mean, how sad is it that you worked all your life, you've amassed this retirement fund and all of that to retire and then become so ill that you can't enjoy it? Like, that is the saddest picture to me.
Well, that's because it's intentional. It's quite intentional, and it doesn't have to be that way. I know it's
Agreed.
Never going to be that way for me. And then I think about the nursing homes, what they're really like, you know, I have my former mother-in-law is in a nursing home right now, and And she, you know, they give her pills all the time, and there's no animals there. She always asks about her dog, and her dog has actually passed away, and no one told her. But the fact that she still misses her dogs, her dog, speaks volumes about what's most important to her, as it should be, as she's an animal lover. She should have her dog with her right up until the moment she dies. And it's just really sad, you know. It's kind of like, you know, prescriptions beget more prescriptions, which beget more more sickness. You know, you can't be healthy when you're pumping all these pills into your body. Would you agree?
No, I mean, I've had a personal experience with a very dear family member of mine, an aunt who was like a grandmother to me, who started down that path, had some ill health happened, and then it was like a tumble, and to the point that my uncle just, although it was heartache to him, had to put her in an assisted living place because he just couldn't do it anymore. And they're actually in their 80s now, and my uncle took really amazing care of himself. But what happened with her is what you said. It was just like one thing after another, and she got to the point where she was almost like in psychosis. She was addicted to all of these pain pills. Mm-hmm. No one knew that she was taking all, she was being multiply medicated, and they actually detoxed her, and she is healthier now than she's been in 20 years because they took her off most of the meds that she had been given. It's amazing.
And that's what that's what we're talking about. I love it. Thank you for sharing that story. Seriously, you know, you can change your life. You can be healthy. You don't have to be on prescription drugs. You can live to be 105 maybe. And it's a really good article. Go to our Facebook page. Always love having you in studio. Jill Lane, hey, and happy 6-year anniversary from last week. We're still carrying it on.
It's amazing.
So, and you were part of that. Wouldn't be here without you. Everyone, stay tuned. We've got Dr. Brad Dieter coming up. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like Blueberry Blast, Coconut Cashew, Cinnamon Roll, and Salted Caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Hi, this is Bernadette, here to tell you about the world's most trusted hemp extract, Charlotte's Web, by the Stanley Brothers. Charlotte's Web hemp oil contains naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. This amazing product is hand-planted and grown using organic farming practices on Colorado family farms. CW has a variety of wellness applications and has achieved global recognition from media coverage of Little Charlotte's amazing success story. All I have to say is thank you, Charlotte's Web, for improving lives with natural Colorado wellness. Visit them at cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or squattypotty.com. That's squattypotty.com.
Go down in it. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Lexi Brinkley, Jill Lane. I have Danny Miles on the controls and Dr. Brad Dieter on the line. He is a certified sports nutritionist from the ISSN, a research scientist, nutrition coach, and aspiring Olympic weightlifter. He also runs the blog ScienceDrivenNutrition.com. That's ScienceDrivenNutrition.com, which strives to bridge the gap between science and the public and to bring the best information in the industry straight to you. Dr. Brad Dieter, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you guys?
I'm great. We're going to be talking about small mistakes with huge consequences. This was an article in Psychology Today, the crux and the crucible of the obesity epidemic. So what do you want us to know about this article?
Sorry, you just cut out real quick. Can you repeat that?
Yeah. Let me start. Which part cut out? I just was asking about the small mistakes with huge consequences. The article in Psychology Today talking about obesity is a global pandemic, and calorie restrictive diets and exercise plans are not the solutions. Hormone dysfunction causes a disease, but we do not treat obesity as a disease. Instead of focusing on its origin, we fixate on the immediate consequences such as weight gain from overeating, which is not the issue. Do you agree?
You know, I think that there's a few pieces there, right? Is one of the things we know fundamentally about, you know, body weight gain and obesity is you can't outrun thermodynamics, right? You have to realize that at bottom, it is an energy balance disorder. But I think what people tend to focus on is the intake, right? So if it's a balance of intake and expenditure, we spend so much time focusing on the intake piece that we forget about, you know, A, what controls the intake piece, and B, what regulates the expenditure. So instead of trying to just convince people that they need to eat half an apple instead of a whole apple, what are the pieces that we know that we could do to increase energy expenditure? And I think that's really what gets at the crux of the issue. And if you go back to, I think it was 1959, one of the original, you know, exercise physiology pieces of research was called the London Bus Study. And that's what they kind of looked at, was people who are, you know, active versus sedentary. What is the big difference between people who end up being, you know, overweight and obese and have health problems versus lean and active and healthy?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's one of the things that we've kind of missed the boat on, is we focus so much on, you know, counting calories and restricting food that we've forgotten about all the other pieces that dictate A, why we eat what we eat, and B, the kind of energy we expend and how much energy we expend.
Well, and there's a lot of factors that are involved in your overall happiness and health, like that article I was talking about with the 105-year-old Japanese doctor talking about the importance of animals in your life and the importance of music and the importance of not throwing in the towel at 65 just because that's the status quo or that's what we've been told is the right thing to do. But, you know, I think about this a lot. When I see somebody like really, really obese, really overweight, I think to myself, and it actually addresses this in the article, that overweight people who fall off diets are not the problem. Despite what less informed sources may say, obesity is not the result of a character flaw, lack of discipline, or intelligence. There is a man whose top weight was over 1,000 pounds. Nobody's character is that flawed. No one is that unaware or undisciplined, especially not someone who graduated from the University of Michigan with honors as a PhD in neuroscience. And it goes on to say, you know, other things about this man being overweight, but my mind says to me, okay, so why a guy like that, who's so intelligent, who knows all about the human body, is it not a lack of discipline, but maybe a bacteria? We know all this information that's coming to light now about the gut. And so and Sean Wells talked about the gut and the mice study. Do you know what I'm talking about, where they took the skinny, I talked about this last week, the obese mouse and then the skinny mouse, and they switched their microbiome,
yeah,
basically. And so is that part of what's going on here, that certain people are picking up like this really bad bacteria that is just, you know, growing out of control in their body? And I know it sounds like a sci-fi film, right? That's what I say when I think about this stuff, but is it possible?
Well, yeah, there's a few ways to look at this, right? Is we know that when we talk about obesity in terms of common obesity, which is the one that we really care about, is it's multifactorial, right? It's, unless you have very rare cases, it's not one singular cause, right? So we can't say, you know, the whole world is obese because of some bacteria. Now, are there populations of bacteria that can, you know, kind of overpopulate your gut, that can, you know, increase the amount of calories that are absorbed and also change behavior that increase caloric intake and decrease caloric expenditure? Absolutely, that can play a role in some people. But to say that, you know, what's causing obesity is a bacterial problem, kind of, you know, minimizes the multifactorial nature,
mm-hmm,
right? So it's, when we really talk about all these different things, is it's really a complex phenotype, and it arises from food choices, physical activity choices, mental health status, bacterial stuff, immune function, other hormonal statuses, things like that. So it's really, it's really a lot more complicated than, you know, here's a list of foods, don't eat these, you know, cut your portion sizes in half. That's clearly not the answer. And I think we've got about 40 years worth of dieting programs that are, you know, have a 5% success rate to show us that.
Well, but Jill, what do you think about this? I don't think it's as simple as calories in versus calories out. And they address that in the article as well.
No, I mean, I completely agree with what Dr. Brad says, that it's a multifactorial condition, to be quite honest with you. And my trouble with it is that we don't have enough trained practitioners that understand that, and they don't know actually how to investigate all of the different areas. And so they're going to give the diet program that says don't eat fried foods and all the, you know, eat less sugar, et cetera, but they're not going to have a mental component to deal with the psychological part. They're not going to know how to prescribe exercise appropriately. They're not going to even know how to test the microbiome to see is there something awry there. They're not going to know that someone's toxic exposure from working in a dry cleaning factory for 20 years. So we don't have enough people, in my opinion, of practitioners who are really thoroughly trained and on the ground in clinic to help people get to the bottom of it. Because for some people, it is just they don't exercise and they just need to get regular with it. But they have a mental thing with why they don't exercise, and the adherence to exercise goes down because they can't get over that hurdle. So we don't have enough people. We don't have enough clinicians trained to help people. That's just my opinion of, you know, how we, if we had more people trained to understand what Dr. Brad mentioned, I think we could make a difference in the obesity epidemic.
What do you want to say to that, Dr. Brad?
No, I 100% agree, right? And we know, I mean, I think she brings up an excellent point of we have a large problem in the fact that we've tried to oversimplify the problem and we've tried to place blame in the wrong spot, right? I think one of the things that we've learned is, you know, telling people they're the sole reason and they're, you know, the fault of whatever weight problems they have, one, usually isn't entirely accurate, and two, is not very helpful. And so what we need to do is we need to find ways, and usually this comes through, you know, people or technology or some combination of the two, to find interventions that work for people. You know, there's some people that, you know, diet and exercise is the answer. There's some people where it's hormonal at base. There's some people who, you know, it's some sort of mental piece of, you know, they've had some trauma, or they, you know, have a depressive disorder, they're on medication. What we have to do is start realizing it's a multifactorial problem, and we need to treat it as such.
Well, it addresses a lot of interesting questions in this article. For example, you know, so is a calorie, but do all calories, so it says, do calories from avocados cause the same metabolic response as calories from bacon or refined sugar calories cause? Of course not, but this is now. That was not now. And it goes on to talk about that. What do you say to that? And we've actually got Dr. Nasha Winters coming up, who wrote the book, The Metabolic Approach to Cancer. I'm sure she would have something to say about that. Because, you know, the ketogenic diet now has so much momentum and addressing weight loss and cancer as a metabolic disease. What do you think about that?
Well, I think I'll tackle probably the harder problem since we've only got a few minutes. And something I actually want to make very, very clear to people is this idea that cancer is a metabolic disease really creates a false dichotomy, right? Anybody who is a very serious oncologist and anybody who actually knows how cancer works, is we understand it's both a genetic manipulation of, you know, the tumor cells, and that also has a metabolic component, right? So we know that there's metabolism problems in cancer, and we know that there's genetic problems. And the other problem with this idea of, you know, ketogenic diets as a cure for cancer is we know that cancers also fall on a spectrum of utilizing a lot of sugar for fuel and also using a lot of fatty acids and ketones for fuel. So there's some cancers that if you give somebody a ketogenic diet, you'll actually augment growth and increase the likelihood of metastases and poor outcomes. Now there's other cancers that we know are highly glycolytic in nature and they require sugar. So what you have to do when we talk about, you know, diet as a therapy for cancer is it has to be very targeted, and you have to have a really good understanding of the cancer itself, its stromal environment, and then also where its metastatic sites are and how those mutations have occurred, because it's not as simple as, oh, you know, tumors show up on a PET scan, which is a marker of increased, you know, glycolytic activity. It's just not quite that simple. And one of the things we have to do as people who communicate to the public about these things is not give people the idea that, you know, your diet's going to cure your cancer, when that's just really not the case for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have to talk more about this because it goes on to talk about refined sugar is not a food. It is an addictive drug that uses the same brain circuitry as cocaine. That's a powerful statement. I've heard it many times. Dr. Brad Dieter, thank you so much for being with us. We'll have to talk about it next week.
Yep, take care.
All right, that's PhD Dr. Brad Dieter. You can find him at sciencedrivennutrition.com. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. We've got Dr. Nasho Winters coming right up. We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates crazy water from the rest. Crazy water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta-Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta-Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code ONELIFE at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Lexi Brinkley. I've got Jill Lane in studio, and I have Dr. Nasho Winters on the line. I love this woman. Dr. Nasho, welcome back. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Oh, so kind. I'm very excited to be back. Thanks for having me.
Well, I love all the things that you write, and I have to give you your bio, give your bio to our listeners, though, because I have bragging rights here. Okay, so on behalf of you, Dr. Nasho Winters is a natural doctor. She's a fellow of the American Board of Naturopathic Oncology, a diplomat in Oriental Medicine. Dr. Nasho works exclusively educating clients, doctors, and researchers worldwide on how to apply integrative oncology, philosophically and therapeutically. A diagnosis of cancer in 1991 redirected her focus from studying conventional medicine to one that embodied the concept of this is a long word. I think you had to help me with it last time.
Psychoneuroimmunology.
There you go. Psychoneuroimmunology and naturopathic medicine, Chinese medicine, and Ayurvedic medicine. Her interest in all things medicine landed her in rich learning environments that further rooted her in a very special and scientific, but holistic, terrain-centric approach that leaves no stone unturned. I absolutely love your work, Dr. Nasho. Along with your co-author, Jess Kelly, you authored the book, The Metabolic Approach to Cancer. I've got it sitting right here with me. And you recently wrote an article in one of my favorite magazines, the Well-Being Journal, about nutrition and genetics and what you inherit and what you can control. And so let's talk about this. It starts out right at the beginning by saying your DNA is not your destiny. I love that. How so?
Yes. Well, you know, that's the thing, is we are all born with a particular blueprint, if you will. Okay. Mm-hmm. And these are the, this is the information that was passed down to us from previous generations. We can link it back at least four generations. And so, you know, from your parents, your grandparents, your great grandparents, and their parents. So we have the ability to sort of get passed on this, this information in our bodies. But here's the cool thing. Epigenetics, its actual definition means above the gene.
Okay.
Above. Okay. So
okay.
What that implies is that, yeah, you might have been born with this blueprint, but it is entirely up to you how you decorate your building.
Okay? Yeah, that is a great way to understand it. And you talk about Christmas lights in here, too, about picturing that you can think of your genome as your complete set of DNA, like billions of Christmas lights running through your body.
Absolutely.
And epigenetic factors such as poor diet or exposure to carcinogenic toxins are the fingers that can turn a strand of those lights from being expressed or illuminated to being silent. Silenced or turned off.
You got it. Do you remember when we were kids that there used to be, when you had a strand of Christmas lights, if one
went out,
the whole lights were broken, like stopped, nothing moved? That's more like the confirmed, you know, the genetics that we're born with that are really broken from the get-go. But today, the type of lights we can get, we can have a few of those bulbs broken, and yet the light can still be shining on through the rest of the strand. That to me is sort of the epigenetics, like the ability to say, you know, we can overcome some of those roadblocks, some of those barriers, some of those hiccups.
Well, and in this article, I love what it says here, that our genes can change in response to our environment, as they always have, that just as good kids can go bad when exposed to a negative influence, our genes can exert harmful or helpful expressions depending upon what factors they are exposed to as well.
Exactly. Exactly. We are definitely far more powerful than we are led to believe, but we're also far more vulnerable. And that vulnerability can be our gift or our curse. And so it's the ability to really educate and empower someone to know how to overcome those vulnerabilities and to create some really strong foundation so that, you know, those lights can shine bright for the long haul.
Well, what's the main thing that you would like our listeners to know about how they can protect their DNA?
Good, good. Well, I mean, first of all, I appreciate you gave a shout out to Jess and I's book, because that is kind of the, I guess I would call it like the workbook of your life, right? Even though it seems like it's specific to cancer, we could have put any major chronic illness into the title. It could have been diabetes. It could have been osteoporosis, cardiovascular disease, Alzheimer's, right?
Yes. Well, I was just, you're so polite. You really are. It's great talking with you on the air. There's a great interaction here. You know, I just, so many people, you say, the book isn't about cancer. It's about living your life to the best. I mean, there's so much, it's about your emotional well-being and mental well-being. It's about a lot of different things. But, you know, so many people are getting cancer now, Dr. Nasha, and it's very scary. My best friend right now is, has just been put on hospice, and it's alarming. It's really alarming.
It is, and younger and younger. And, you know, part of where that your question was taking me and that the exposure to this, and exactly speaking to what you just said about the number of people being faced with this condition, and even someone you're very close to who is struggling with their launch out of this world right now, is that there are so many factors around us today that simply weren't around us 50, 75, 100, 200 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so what this comes down to in simplistic terms is imagine a pail, a bucket, you know, like what you take to the beach to fill up and make sandcastles out of. And that bucket is our mitochondria. It's what it's representing. And then each drop or little scoop of sand we add to that bucket represents these sort of 10 terrain issues that I have come up with over 25 years of private practice, and that Jess and I have sort of distilled down into what became this book eventually, which are things like our epigenetics, which is the canopy, you know, kind of the big picture of all of these interactions, you know, between our cells and our external environment, and even within our internal environment. but also within things like our microbiome, our inflammation, our blood sugar balance, our hormones, our circadian rhythms and how we respond to stressful situations, our circulation, our immune function, you know, and of course, you said it so importantly, our psychiatric, mental, emotional body mm-hmm. and well-being. And so people like Bruce Lipton, a famous, microbiologist who really gave credence to the field of epigenetics many, you know, a couple decades ago at this point, even talks about the importance of how our thoughts impact the switches on those strands of Christmas life.
Yeah.
And so those are the things that we try to help people in our book. We give a questionnaire in the very beginning that gives people 10 questions for each of those terrain 10 items I just outlined. And then it allows the reader to determine what is their biggest, you know, like priority. Where should they start with all of this? And some may need to start, you know, specifically dive right into the epigenetics themselves because they might have been handed over a particular blueprint that's particularly vulnerable and needs everything to be, you know, ship shape mm-hmm. to function as optimally as possible. And that's why we wanted to really focus on this in when the Well-Being Journal approached us. They were excited about our chapter on the epigenetics, so we did kind of an excerpt for that and broke it down so it would be user-friendly in this magazine article. Mm-hmm. But it's a great place to start, and we've come so far. I mean, I've been in practice for a long time, and it's only been in the last, you know, 5 or 10 years when we've all had the ability to kind of be able to financially afford to look at our own epigenetic blueprint mm-hmm. and get a much better sense of what makes us tick, you know, how we can really look at prevention, because for so long we were all feeling completely hopeless mm-hmm. and victim to right. our, you know, like, oh, my dad died of this, my uncle died of this, my grandpa, you know, we all felt like that was it. Well, now we have information that says, nope, that's not it. And thanks to your predecessors, you now have the data within your chemistry, within your labs, to tell you how you can avoid the same trajectory as the generations above you.
Well, I think that we've got far removed from things that are important. You know, you've studied totally. Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic yeah. medicine. These are yeah. all things that matter. You know, people don't understand that, you know, something as simple as ahimsa is a very yes. important part of life. It's about living your life. How would we best describe it?
I like, well, living your life and being, but also simplistically, being in accordance with nature.
Yes.
You know, we are so far out of rhythm within our own chemistry, with the seasons, with the night and day cycles, right? With even our food habits. I mean, we used to eat seasonally, locally. Now we can eat, I can eat a papaya in the dead of winter in Durango, Colorado, mm-hmm. right? I mean, those were, and of course, it's usually a GMO papaya, so there's that side of things, but we've gotten so far away from what our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and great-great-grandparents, how they lived by literally the sun and the moon.
Well, I think,
and the seasons.
Well, yeah, and you know, and I the words of Jackson Brown just came into my head, mm-hmm. you know, longing for love and the struggle for legal tender. We spend too much time chasing money and not following the path, in my opinion, of, you know, if you're living your purposely. Say it for me, Jill. Help me out here. With purpose. Okay.
Yes.
If you're doing that, all those other things fall into place. You know, you don't have to chase love. You don't have to chase money. You just have to let it happen. Right.
Oh, I love that. And you know, there's been a few memes going around on social media as of late, and I've seen it sort of recycle itself through every couple of years, but it's that old adage about, you know, what people are saying, you know, like hospice people talking about what people are saying in their last moments on their deathbed. Not any one of us are saying, golly, I really wish I'd made more money, or
right.
I really wish I'd worked harder, or I really wish I hadn't taken, you know, that I stopped taking vacations or really stopped calling my family and friends. I mean, mm-hmm. it so comes down to what you just said a moment ago. It's connection. In fact, there are many vitalistic practices out there that believe that cancer is the ultimate disconnect.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's so much. I mean, even they say today, like, even though we can all see and talk to each other around the world at a second's notice, thanks to social media, it is also studies coming out in the social media psychology world that we're also lonelier than ever and more isolated than ever.
I just love having you on the air. We don't get enough time. Next time, it's going to have to be 30 minutes because your book really, the two of you really knocked the ball out of the park on this. The Metabolic Approach to Cancer, Integrating Deep Nutrition, the Ketogenic Diet, and Non-Toxic Bio-Individualized Therapies by Dr. Nasha Winters and Jess Kelly. Great job, you girls. And thank you so much for sharing. Can't wait to talk to you again.
All the best, everyone. Take care.
All right. That was Dr. Nasha Winters. Check out her book, The Metabolic Approach to Cancer. Danny, thanks for my Jackson Brown. We'll be right back with Jill Lane. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Amen. I want to know what became of the changes we waited for love to bring.
Did you know that hemp has been used for a variety of wellness needs for thousands of years? And now, thanks to the Stanley Brothers in Colorado, you can now get Charlotte's Web, the most trusted whole plant hemp extract in the world. Charlotte's Web is a proprietary whole plant hemp extract that contains all of the beneficial and naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. In fact, in 2003, the federal government recognized the beneficial effects on human health and obtained a U.S. patent titled Cannabinoids and Antioxidants. For more information and to get educated about Charlotte's Web, visit cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
There's no easier way to add color to your life than to decorate your home and garden with lights. They aren't just for Christmas. Pink, teal, purple, light up your yard, dorm room, or add sparkle to your birthday party. Find every color under the sun online at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
This song takes me back to Greenville Avenue back in, like, I don't know, 1990-something. Danny, what year is this song? I can remember hearing it on the Eagle.
Late 80s.
With Kid Craddock and driving up and down Greenville Ave, going to and from work, you know. Oh, my gosh. I've got Jill Lane in studio with me. Good memories with this girl, too. She's been with One Life Radio off and on right from the very beginning. And she's the one that first taught me about mitochondria and all these big scientific things that I didn't know anything about. She's a pro athlete health and nutrition coach and founder of Fueling Champions. She has a three-step sports performance and athletic nutrition program built to maximize the potential of student athletes and the parents that support them. You can find Jill Lane at jilllane.com, fuelingchampions.org. Those are two separate web addresses, jilllane.com and fuelingchampions.org. Today we're talking about the top things parents can do to get their kids' immune systems ready for back to school. And you're right, this is such a good topic because, you know, as soon as they go back, within a matter of a week or two, the sickness starts.
Petri dish, it just starts. Full bloom.
And so, you know, I don't know what you do with your kids, but you know, with my, I give my of course, Nia or Vinny's off at college now, but I give Nia probiotics every single day. But there are some top things that parents can do to get their kids' immune systems ready for back to school. So, what's the goal here?
Well, the first goal is that we hope our kids don't get sick. But, you know, as we get more and more kids in school or deeper into the school, we know that that can just sometimes be a pipe dream. Because,
right.
You know, if a big epidemic blows through, it's hard to avoid. So then the second goal for me as a parent is, okay, if my kids do get sick, I don't want them to get sick as badly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want them to stay sick as long. And
right.
What I found with these things I'm going to share is that if my kids do get sick, they're not sick as badly and they don't stay sick as long, which is really important, not just for them getting back in school, but for parents. It's hard to care for our kids when we work and, you know, have someone at home to tend for them. You know, it's just, let's just be real. It's hard to have sick kids.
Well, it is. Well, and I'm thinking back to JJ Version, your friend JJ, who went through, was she at the conference, by the way?
It is her conference. So,
oh, it is?
I mean, she is really the mastermind behind the whole thing. So she's an amazing woman.
Well, no wonder
woman.
She's been so busy. I haven't been able to get her back on here recently. But yeah, I remember when her son had the auto accident. And the only reason that he made it through is because she was all over his nutrition and wellness. And he recovered mainly because he was in shape to begin with.
You know, and one thing she'll share as well, and I hope parents listening will, and people that aren't parents actually will listen to this also, that she was able to be present with him in these very serious ICU type conditions because she was well. You know, when you have
right.
a loved one or a family member in ICU and you're sick, you can't see them.
Yeah.
And she needed to be there
she
for critical decisions.
She saved her son's life. He would not have made it without her. Absolutely.
So listen to this, everybody, really, as if it's for you. And it's especially important for us with parents with kids going back to school. You
yes.
know, that's all going down over the next month. So really, the first thing is to fuel the immune system with the food that we eat. You know, our fork is one of our most powerful health tools. And so we are what we eat. And, you know, we get deeper in the show in that you are what you eat ate. And that's for another show. It's important that what you eat, especially if it's an animal product, you know what they ate because that all transfers through. But some of the top things that support our immune system, really, you know, I think all of the practitioners that have been on the show today would agree are vegetables. And that can be really tricky with parents and their kids. But because exposure equals preference, what I teach parents is if you have a kid or kiddos that like different vegetables or don't like vegetables at all, don't stop serving them just because they are having a moment where they don't particularly like broccoli
yeah.
right now. Keep serving it. Exposure equals preference. We serve two vegetables and a fruit at every meal in our house. And not everybody might like the two vegetables, but there's always one that they all like, one or the other, because that's where you're going to get your built-in multivitamin. That's where all the phytochemicals and all of the phytonutrients that help support our immune cells, for the most part, come from.
And pick good ingredients, too. I was reading about maple syrup even gives good health, gut health because of it contains inulin.
Yeah, I mean, it's a prebiotic. So, I mean, we're going to talk about probiotics, and I agree with you. I think that is one of the number one things we can do from a supplement standpoint. I do think our children should be and need to be supplemented because they're not eating a wide array of food.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as a general population. So they're not getting all the nutritional value they need to function at, you know, a peak level. And so gut health is really at the core of immune function. And so foods that feed your gut are vegetables and prebiotics. So, you know, a little bit of maple syrup, you know, people would balk because it's sugar and they might balk at raw honey, but a little bit of something in the midst, protein and activity.
But it's also got raw minerals and stuff, right? From the
sure.
tree sap and stuff that are really good for you.
Sure. I mean, I think you just have to choose your battles with your kids. And so am I going to balk at my kids using some raw honey and kid tea, which we'll talk about in a minute, or a little bit of maple syrup on some, you know, something freshly baked, you know, you have to choose your battles.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather my kids eat a lot of vegetables, get good, clean protein in, be hydrated, and use a little bit of those things than, you know, fight to the death over maple syrup on your
right.
homemade waffles.
Well, and they're not saying a lot. A couple times a week, just a little bit, but it's full of minerals and nutrients. Just one little trick, one little thing. I was reading in a book from Patricia Bragg about vinegar. You know, vinegar being good to, you know, stop a sore throat or, all kinds of things. And I thought back, my dad, we always had a bowl of salad on the kitchen table 7 days a week made with apple cider vinegar and olive oil. And we snacked on it throughout the day. And little things like that make a difference, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, the cool thing about apple cider vinegar and vinegars in general is it gives you a good excuse to get your kids in the kitchen to help you make something. So whether you're just putting it on a salad or you're infusing it into just shaking it with some olive oil and some fresh herbs to make a dressing, it's a great way to get your kids in the kitchen helping you with something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's kind of outside of the topic of immune health, but what they eat matters for their immune health. So vegetables as often as possible. My golden rule is a couple handfuls a couple times a day. You might not start there, but that's what we're aiming for.
Right.
And then protein. Protein actually gives the amino acids, give your body the building blocks it needs to repair itself. And that's really critical when it comes to staying healthy and giving your immune system the fuel it needs to make immune cells. Hydration. This is one of the biggest things. I was speaking to a really big group of student athletes and parents on Friday night, and I was sharing with them a statistic that 50 to 75% of student athletes just walk around dehydrated all the time. Mm-hmm. And so if student athletes are doing that, pretty much means everybody is from a kid's standpoint. And then when I dive further and say, hey, by show of hands, who carries water around with them throughout the day? It's like less than 1% of the room. Our kids are extremely dehydrated, and that bodes poorly for their immune
health. And that goes for me. I mean, it goes in waves with me. You know, I'll go to the store and get several bottles of the crazy water, and I'll drink it for days, you know, or I'll refill it from my home, from my filtered water. And then, you know, something might happen. I forget one day. And then it kind of like just it tumbles into days on end, right. And especially on the weekend. And is it true that, of course, this won't be kids drinking alcohol or coffee, but for the adults out there listening, for every cup of coffee you have or for every glass of wine or alcohol you have, you should have an 8-ounce glass of water as well, correct?
Well, alcohol is far more dehydrating than caffeine is. And
okay.
So I'm not as much worried about caffeine and dehydration as I am with alcohol. Mm. And so like when I work with my pro athletes, you know, they're of drinking age, that is one of the biggest talks we have around hydration is that alcohol, you know, we need to take the intake of alcohol really seriously. So we're getting protein in at each meal. We need to really pump in the vegetables. We need to really pay attention to hydration. And you mentioned minerals. You know, we can purposely add food that we know is high in certain minerals that help with immune function, like zinc. Mm. One of the best places to get that is through raw nuts and seeds.
Okay.
And so nut butters, especially pumpkin seeds, it's kind of not the normal nut or seed people eat, but they're so dense in nutrients, especially zinc. And zinc is really great for the immune system. And so that can be, if your school allows for nuts, and you know a lot of don't, nuts or seeds, it's a great thing to put in the lunch or as part of the snack with some fruit or something else. So
yeah, we talked about that a little bit. We couldn't stop laughing with Sean Wells on Friday. We all had a case of the sillies, but it is important. Nuts are a very important part of a balanced diet. They are, and been around since since the beginning.
And our kids don't really need to eat that many of them to get the, because they're so nutrient dense, they're so calorically packed, which is a good thing. But you know, just like 8 or 10 walnuts is an amazing source of calories and dense nutrition. So you don't need to eat a lot of them to get what you need.
And so what about, I know on this list you had chiropractic and essential oils. I love this.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk food, sleep, exercise. Those are probably some of the standard things people would think, but a couple of things that I really swear by, because you got to really think outside the box. We talked about that with the last two people, Dr. Nisha and Dr. Brad. This is like a full approach. And so I really am a firm believer in chiropractic, our nervous system, which is, you know, like the big extension cord from our brain down our spine, innervates all of our cells, our organs and our tissues. So if it's not square, you're not going to be at optimal function. So my chiropractic is a really important part of my kids' immune health for sure.
Well, maybe you can come back next week and we'll cover some more of this. I don't know if you have time, but we didn't get to all of it. And good old-fashioned washing your hands, right?
Yeah. I mean, better than hand sanitizer, people.
Yes.
Just wash your hands.
Wash
Keep your
hands.
Kids' hands washed. Just plain old soap and water. Sing the ABCs. You'd be surprised.
Jill Lane, always love having you on. Thank you so much.
Good to be here.
Yeah. Sorry your microphone was a little jacked at the beginning of the show, but
listen,
it happens.
It's real. It's live.
It's real. It happens. It's live. That's right. Just like life. It happens. Everyone, listen to our podcast from Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, and TuneIn. You can go to our website to subscribe to our newsletter. A big shout-out to our sponsors, Charlotte's Web, Crazy Water, Squatty Potty, and Sun Warrior. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. You know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.